Thank you, Sharon. All right. I'm thankful for the sound guys. Amen. They can make this thing work from a distance. Amen. And appreciate you guys getting it right the other night. Amen. Brother Jeremiah was trying to explain to me what was going wrong, and he lost me early on in that conversation. I'm just thankful somebody can make it work and get it right. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, if you would, this morning. Acts 22, and for the sound room and those guys up there, the title of the message today will be Freeborn. Freeborn. I don't know about you, but I am appreciative of the place that I was born. Amen. I'm thankful not only for the location inside of this country, but that I was born a free man in a free country. Amen. And that I think I'll speak slightly about that today. I do know that there you may have wandered into this place, and you may, or even on the internet or on the radio, and you don't think that politics has anything to do with the Bible and or spiritual things. And let me rebuttal that slightly by just saying you tuned into the wrong channel. Okay? And first of all, but let me also say that I challenge you to read through the New Testament scripture, and there's constantly you're dealing with people, and people are dealing with government, and God created government, and He shows us how to deal with government in His Bible. And so a preacher, if a preacher stands up and doesn't deal with the things that are going on in our world and make those applicable to the Word of God, then he is not preaching the whole counsel of God. All right? So I'll just defend myself and maybe my preacher by taking a lick. And I'll just tell you, somebody called the church after I preached one Sunday morning, and they didn't hurt my feelings. I'm just going to tell you this, all right? They didn't hurt my feelings a bit. Brother Tim answered it. It's probably in the summertime, probably about a year ago. They called in, and they said, I thought about coming to that church down there, but then I heard that preacher that preached on Sunday, and that was me, all right? And so they said, I heard that preacher on Sunday preach about politics. And see, he said, well, ma'am, I was about to tell you that that's not our normal preacher and that you could come and visit. And if you didn't like him, it was all right because you could come. But if it's over politics, you sure ain't going to like our preacher that preaches every week. Amen. And so, amen. So here in the Bible, we're in the book of Acts, and I hope you understand the New Testament. Most of the Gospels record the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the founder of the local church. And then the book of Acts, Luke was the writer under the inspiration of God to pen down the book of Luke and the book of Acts in our New Testament. It fills up one third of the New Testament, and all of that was written to one man and to us. It was written specifically to Theophilus to inform him about all the things that had happened in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then he wrote the book of Acts to record the early history of the local church. It was a transitional time, and I hope you kind of understand that there are things in there as the Bible became completed, and Peter himself speaks directly about this, but as the Bible was completed, there were some things that happened in the book of Acts, the power that God gave to his early church. Some of those things went away because the witness of himself that is in the world today is not a speaking in tongues or all the other, some of the healings that we see in the book of Acts, but not that God is not able to do whatever he would choose to do. Not that God still couldn't use a man and speak two different languages. If God chose to do that, he could get it done today. Amen. He's the same God and he's still same powerful, but God has chosen to use the foolishness of preaching in our age to get the word of God out. The Jews in that early time, the Jews require a sign. And so they got some, didn't they? There were people getting their hands laid on them. They raised some up from the dead. There were all kinds of things happening in the book of Acts. But it really, the first part of the book of Acts is really, and I'm not taking you to college. You're not in class today, all right? But if you're learning something, that's good. Amen. God led me this way. So I'll just deal with the first most amazing eight chapters is dealing with some of the Holy Spirit filling different groups of people groups, all right? The Jew, the Samaritan, the Gentile. And then we jump and we find our way to an Apostle Paul. And again, there is some mixture of the two of them as the book goes on. But mostly, we find the church has kind of settled in Jerusalem and Antioch and other places. And the Great Commission, or what we consider missions from a local area, begins to we see how they did it in the early day and time. And missions begins to spread across that known world and again, all the way to us and till today where we not only have the Word of God, but we have it in our language. And can I just tell you today, I woke up this morning saved. I didn't lay my head down last night and worry about whether I was going to go, where I was going to spend eternity. But because of Jesus and what He did on Calvary, I was born again. And I'm saved eternally. I'm not in jeopardy today. It's not about what I did, all right? Not what I am doing, but on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation can come to all men. And I believe that the book says that He wants all, it's His will for all men to be saved. We're not of those group, that the Calvinists that believe God chose some and He didn't choose others. He chose everybody, but everybody did not choose Him. All right, that's why there are people in hell today, folks. But as we dive into the book of Acts, we come to a place where now Paul has run most of his course. He's not finished his course. He's still got to go to Rome. He still has to stand before some kings and government officials in God's will and in God's time. But we find ourselves as he's directed in the power of the Holy Spirit, as he comes to Jerusalem to finish up some things that he had promised to God. He's made some vows and he's going to finish that thing up. As he finds his way to Jerusalem, there are people warning him. Have you ever had people warn you? There are some of you that have moved in, and I don't know where yet. Some of you have moved into the area, and I can say this, that, you know, sometimes when you follow God's will, sometimes people won't be on board with God's will. They'll think you're headed for a train wreck. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes God's will ain't easy. Sometimes God's will ain't what everybody would choose for themselves, or I would have chose for me, or you would chose for you. Sometimes you got to do the hard thing. Can I just tell you, all the way to Jerusalem, people are stopping Paul going, don't you go up there. Hey, you're going to go. They tie his hands and say, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. You're going to be tied up. You're going to be in, they're going to put you in shackles. But listen, Paul, I will say this. I don't know. He must have been one awesome man. Because the Bible says that God revealed to him pretty much his course. Pretty much what he was going to run for the Lord. And Paul knew what was coming. I think the Holy Spirit that was in him knew the same thing that was going on. I know this is where I'm supposed to go. I know I'm probably going to be bound. I know there's some bad things coming for me, but I'm not going to hesitate to walk right through the door that God wants me to walk through, even though I know it's going to be a hard door. Even though I know it may be rough times. It may be trouble. Can I just say, sometimes the preacher gets in the pulpit and he preaches something that he knows is going to be rough, but he walks on through the door anyway. He knows that everybody's not going to meet him at the door and smile and shake his hands. He knows that everybody ain't going to be happy, and he knows that somebody may come back and say, you know, I don't think I'd have preached that. Well, thank God that you didn't preach it and God told me to do it. Amen. And so I'm just here to tell you, can I say this morning, sometimes God's will is not always easy, but Paul walked on, and I thank God that we have it recorded in Scripture that not everything was peaches and creams, not everything was smiles and roses when you showed up. Not everybody bowed down and waved their hands like they did on Mars Hills and try to worship them. Not all of it was like that. Sometimes when you showed up, it was a hard time. Paul gets into this place, and I'm trying to lay backstory because I'm not going to read but a couple verses this morning. So I think you need to know the story this morning. He gets there and he gets into it, and they get him. They know who Paul is. They've heard of this fella. This is one of those guys that turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's come back to Jerusalem, and now is our chance. We're going to put him on trial. We're going to throw it. We're going to bind him, and we're going to put some things to him. So they set him up, and they're trying to, again, can I just say, if we could put it in today's language, Paul gets to the place where he is outsmarts the smarty pants that have put him on trial. And he looks around the building, and he realizes these people, that the only thing that they could get together and agree on was killing Paul. Listen, he realized they didn't believe the same doctrine. He looked on this side and realized that this group, a bunch of Sadducees, sad people that don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, they were sitting on this side. They didn't believe all the truths of the Lord Jesus and Him coming. But then he looked on the other side and he realized there was a whole pack of people that believed, really, in Jesus and His coming and all these things. They just didn't realize who He was when He came. And they were, they were Pharisees. And so they were sitting on both sides. And so Paul, like any good preacher would, says, let's take the spotlight off of me at this trial and let me show them their own hypocrisy. And he says, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was one. He begins to start to let them know exactly what he believes. And you know what happens? That place goes into a riot. That place goes crazy because these people believe something different than these people. And he starts something that turns into a train wreck. And those people are at each other. And when they finally figure out what Paul had done and that mess that was going on, the Roman soldiers, can I just tell you, Jerusalem was not free during this time. You remember that? I think sometimes that people forget history. Can I just say, all that's going on in the world and the statues that's being pulled down and all the foolishness that's going on in the world today, it's because people have been taught, either if they do know anything about history, they have been taught a warped perception of history. And if they don't know, most of them don't know, they're just going along with the crowd. And it has been preached from this pulpit before, and let me say it again, if you don't know your own history, you are doomed to repeat it. These guys come to this place and they're at each other, and the Roman soldiers realize they can zone in from a distance and realize that guy started this. Amen. Just like the ones that are tuning in to the ones, this Antifa group and all these other people. The police and the government aren't stupid, folks. They realize that some people are really showing up to try to say, to do exactly what we have the right to do and to stand for whatever we believe in, no matter what it is that you stand for. But you do not have the right to break the windows out of people's homes and burn them to the ground and to lock people up hostage in their places or to kill police officers. You don't have that, okay? You don't have the right to do that. You have the right to free speech in this country. Thank God that we live in a country where a man can stand up and say the sky is red and he can preach it all day. He can write a sign and he can stand up and wave that all he wants, and he has the right to stand on that street corner. And if he can get six other people to stand on that street corner with him, he has the right to do that and has free will to do so. But this government, the Constitution of these United States, does not give anybody the right to harm another person. All right, no matter what your title is. And in a few minutes, I'd love to get to tell you exactly what it says, because I really believe some of us, we forget some of those things. Those are the rules that govern our people, and I think it's important. But Paul here, he's going to begin an exchange. He's taken in for his own protection, and to squelch, they realize if they got a hold of this one man, if they arrested this one guy, that the whole thing would settle down. So they arrested Paul, and they take him in. And this is what happens. Can I say what happens in a non-free state? What happens in a place where you don't have any rights immediately in that place? Can I just say what happens? They tell him, they take him in there and scourge him. They bind him, take him in there and scourge him. They tell him that. Now, what we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 22, we're going to realize that some things are going to be, and Paul is going to make a statement because Romans were free. If you were a man of Rome, you were born or you could buy your freedom and you had rights. Not everybody under Roman rule had rights, but certain people had rights. And I want you to see this today, all right? In Acts chapter number 22, if you'll look with me into verse number 27, he says, "Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him." Can I just say this? What happens, and I told you all the pre-story, because Paul stands up, and just like every American that was born on the soils of this land, or those that have naturally come to this place and become citizens of our country, he had some rights. He had some
constitutional. And some, if you believe that they didn't in Rome, but here we believe we got some inalienable rights that came from God, and thank God for our country. But this guy gets, he says, he comes down, he said, just take him down there. If you read the passage, I encourage you to do so. You know, the Bereans, they went back and studied it out for themselves. I encourage you to do so after this morning. Read the chapter and understand everything I said. But he says, go get that guy, take him to the barracks and whoop him, scourge him, and then turn him loose. And I'll tell you when I want you to turn him loose. And so they go down there and they put shackles on Paul and they bring him up. There's no accusation been made. There's no trial. No one has made any. There's no even questioning. They just decide, hey, there are countries today, folks, if they want to take you, bind you, and beat you, they still do that today. And these crazy people that are rioting in the streets that want us to be socialistic and communistic and all these other countries, they can take you somewhere and beat you and turn you back on the street. And that is not what I want for me or my children. I don't want our world or our country to turn into. The only time we can get a voice is if we start breaking stuff and burning it down. That is communism. You are seeing, and my preacher said it, you are seeing the early signs, not of socialism, but of communism. Paul is taken under this rule. This military group that is, really ruling over Jerusalem takes him, binds him, and they're getting ready to beat him. And Paul stands up and says, hey now, is it your practice to beat Romans? And the guy, and the Bible uses the word examine him. See, there was a guy he wasn't going to whip him. He was the guy that went down to just make sure. You know, he's the guy that was going to stand there and examine or make sure that what the chief captain said, that guy got beat. He wasn't going to do the beating. He was the under guy that made sure whatever the chief captain said went. And when he got down there, the guy said, he looked at him. Paul knew the structure. Paul says, he goes, is it your practice to beat Romans? The chief captain comes down because this is serious, folks. Not only, not just because they almost beat him. Do you realize in our country, even this, think about how free Rome was. These guys, and if you read the scripture, they were scared to death as soldiers because they had bound him. It was, almost punishable by death for a Roman soldier to shackle a Roman citizen without cause, to put a pair of handcuffs on him. Can I tell you how bad? I'm telling you, it was a scary thought for them. They're like, I don't know if this guy really is. I better go check it out. The head of the garrison, the chief captain goes down there and says, hey, are you really a Roman? And what Paul says, just bless my heart, kind of spoke to me from the scripture. He says, he explains. He doesn't say I'm a Roman too. He says, I obtained this. He's going to talk about what it meant to him to be a Roman citizen and to be free. He said, I obtained this at a great price. Now, that could have been with his own blood in the army. It could have been with a lot of money that he paid. In that time at Rome, it got really cheap. If you study Roman history, down the road, they were just selling out and they were selling everybody their citizenship. But at this time in Paul's life, this time period, it would have cost a man somewhere around, on average, probably about 5 years of whatever his normal wage was to purchase citizenship in Rome. This man, and you can hear it, through the scripture, he said, at great price I obtained this. But the blessing of this was, once you obtained it, all your prodigy were free. That was a blessing in the Roman colony. And can I just say, Paul with, pride, he said, I obtained this at great price. And Paul says, I was freeborn. Can I just say, Paul, knowing exactly, this guy, he was a preacher, friend. Can I just tell you, if anybody knew where he was headed right when he first said it, he said, I was freeborn. Because he knew. See, he was from Tarsus. Tarsus was not a Roman colony. Tarsus, he didn't get it because he was born in a Roman city. Somebody in Paul's heritage, either his father or his grandfather, had paid whatever due that it costed to be free. Somebody, now whether it was through military might, whether it was by, I mean, I'm here to tell you, whether it was by purchasing with great sum, as this chief captain said, but somebody in his history had paid the price so that he could be free. Without bondage, without being bound, had no right to bind him, had no right to beat him because he had done nothing. Can I tell you that chief captain, you know why they shackled him? Because he didn't look like a Roman. Rome ruled the world. Who did look like a Roman? Hey, folks, can I tell you? America's been here a long time. Amen? Tell me what an American looks like. I was freeborn. I'm looking at a pack of people, and there's some of you at great price, or yourself or your parents had went through a big price to be a citizen of this country. But there are other of us that could speak and say exactly with Paul, I was freeborn. I was born in this land. I was born in this place, but I'm here to tell you, listen, there is no pale skin that identifies an American citizen. There's no African American skin. There's no Spanish skin. We could go through every race that you want, but there is no one person or face or look that identifies a citizen of the United States of America. It is this flag over here. Can I tell you, it's having a heritage to the Word of God. It's free. I was freeborn. And not because of my skin color, but because somebody along the way, way down the road, and I can't even trace my, I don't have ancestry DNA. I don't know where I come from. I believe I come from a lot of different places, but I thank God Paul didn't say much about what he knew. He just said, I was freeborn. I am freeborn. Can I tell you, I believe even with all the riots and everything that goes on today in this country, I still live in the greatest nation on planet Earth. I live in the most free state that there is. They let people burn buildings down and they still didn't lock them up. It don't get much freer than that. Hey, can I tell you today that we live in a great place, and the reason that this place is divulging is because every inch that we take away, every inch that we move as a people away from the Word of God and the founder's idea that all men were created equal. You see, that didn't start. You say, well, the Civil War. They're tearing down all kinds of history because they don't like it. They're tailoring down all kinds of things because they don't like what people were or what people did because they're ignorant of the past. That's right. You know what that's like, folks? That's like somebody tearing down your house, coming into your house and burning up the blanket that your grandmother made for you because they didn't like what your grandmother stood for. That's crazy. It's our history. Do you know who else went and burned all their history up? The Nazis did that. Because when you can take somebody's history away from them and who they were, you can make them anything. This book, this Paul, he said, I was freeborn. Can I just say this? I want to read to you the preamble to our Constitution. If anybody should say, as Americans, this junk about defunding the police, or that we are not just, or that this is a crazy nation, that we should be socialists, or we should be something different than what the founders laid out for us, they are crazy. They've lost their mind. The beginning doesn't say, I, the king of something. It says, we, the people. The ones that paid the price so that I could be born free, not a subject of England or a part of a colony, the ones that bled and died on battlefields over and over again so that Old Glory could still rise up on the hill and raise up every morning. Every one of those men that paid for my freebornness, can I say, they would, echo, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Can I just say, and we've talked about it and the world's talked about it, but everyone that believes that this was unjust, what happened to George Floyd, everybody would say amen. There was a great injustice done, but the purpose of the police are to police themselves too. And there are other officers that police them, because one thing, the very first thing that I am guaranteed as a citizen of these United States is that my government will give me justice. Doesn't mean it's going to make you happy. Doesn't mean that they're going to take somebody and kill them. It means they may put them in and lock away the key. It means that they're going to try them, and that because they were born free, they have some rights, and they're not just going to take anybody. Can I just say that the Bible, I mean, this Bible that formed this thing, I mean, the Declaration of Independence laid out a wonderful idea, but both the Declaration of Independence, that's preamble, and the Constitution both have this in it. You know, they both said that they're guaranteed to life. That the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, their centermost thing that was precious to them, that they wanted to provide for their people, was that they guaranteed that no one should be able to take your life away from you. That you're guaranteed that. He says, to ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Can I say this today? We live in the greatest nation on earth, and it may not always do and be and see the things, but listen, nobody else has a constitution like ours. Nobody else has guaranteed rights, and if there's anything we ought to be, we ought not to be trying to tear down the structure that was laid to our founders, but to get back to them. Can I say the reason that this stuff like this happens is because, listen, where did that happen? Did that happen in the South? I've said this before. I feel like somebody's rewinding this. That didn't happen in the South. It wasn't because of Civil War prejudice. This happened way, way, way up north. Way, way, way up north, folks. Can I just say, on your best day, your best or worst day in the United States, it's sure better than a lot of other places where you got no rights. This place is, if we should do anything as Americans, we should look at what's going on around us, and for our children, we should not be trying to throw off what the founders provided, but really seek where our foundation was and what our start was and try to get back to it. Because the reason all this craziness is happening in the United States is because we are not the nation that we were when we started out to be. We have politicians that do not work for we the people. They work for we the corporation, or we the people that give you as much money as we can to do and say and vote the way we want you to. The corruption runs deep, and no matter what you think about the president, I do believe that his promise to go drain the swamp, he's still pumping water, folks. He did not realize how deep that swamp was. And if you want to know, and I'll just say this, say, Brother Parsons, do you really think that he could fix it all? No. There's only one person that's going to fix it all, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know, just like he's got men that he sends, and there are men for such a time as this that have stood, and sometimes, as Pastor said, the Lord Jesus has hit a pretty straight lick with a crooked stick. And I'm here to tell you that this age that we're in, I realize I don't know that we've crossed this bridge before. I don't know that we've been exactly where we are, but I know this, that if we don't look to the foundations of America and not for throwing off its history and trying to create a new future, we'll be right where the rest of the sorry world is, and we'll be right there in the ditch with them. The only thing they're going to look for us to do is pay for it. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to say this, and I can't help it. I'll leave off of it in just a second, but I'm here to tell you, if anything would cause me as an American to raise up arms against things that are going on, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about defunding the police. You know the opposite of what's going to happen? They're going to bring the UN in to try to police us. And if you want to get Brother Parsons out of his garage with his guns and aggravate me to the place where I'll stand up and fight against oppression, no foreign body will ever, not while I've got red blood, American blood in me, will I ever tolerate as an American citizen to be ruled by a foreign power. The Constitution of the United States gives, listen, the reason, if you ought to read the right to bear arms. That's right. All right? The right to bear arms in America was so that we could throw off tyranny. And it's guaranteed in our Constitution because the founders knew that this day would come. Now, Paul was freeborn. But you know what Paul was? He was born spiritually dead. You know, he was born free in a country, but his daddy or his grandfather had purchased for him freedom in a legal sense, in a political sense. But his great, 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 and I don't have time to give all of the greats, but all the way back to Adam, somebody had purchased something else for him. He purchased for him the wages of sin. And if Paul was honest, and I think you can find that in the scripture, when he came to being honest about who the sinner truly was, he didn't even have to be, Adam's sin didn't even have to be perpetrated on him. He had his own. He said, "Of sinners, I am chief." Hey, if we were honest this morning and we were all, everyone that's born in these United States and free politically to have free speech and to move about from state to state and the freedoms that we enjoy, every one of us were born into the bondage of sin. But I'm thankful that there's a Savior named Jesus Christ who came from heaven and purchased for me a way so that I could be born free again. Do you know that he had that conversation? I even thought about, as I thought about the message, you know, you always want to get, you know, 3 points in a poem. I don't know where my 3 points were. I was just a lot of ranting in the middle. Amen. Amen. You can say amen to that. But anyway, but if I was going to drag, you know, why drag some historical story out that's not in the Bible? You know that Jesus met with a man by night named Nicodemus. And the exchange between the two of those men have changed people's destiny forever. Because as they talked to each other, one man did not understand how a man could be born again. He came to Jesus by night, Jesus said, and he even gets to the point where Jesus tries to explain earthly things to him. He says, a man must be born of water, and he's talking about birth, water birth from mom, but then a spiritual birth. And he says to him, he said, both of those things need to happen for you to obtain eternal life, for you to be saved and born again and on your way to heaven. And in that exchange between the two of them, he still did not understand. This guy, this Nicodemus, teach me, tell me, I need to understand. Jesus said, if I've told you about earthly things, how can I teach you heavenly things that you don't understand yet? So they go through this whole thing, and turn with me to John chapter 3, and I just want to read with you just a little bit that's here. But what's amazing to me is in John chapter 3, as they're having this conversation, in verse 5, he says exactly what I had told you. He says, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it will listen us, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Can I just say this today? In America, if I can't identify because of the diversity and where people are born and have immigrated, if I can't look out into the sea of people, just like that chief captain, he said, you know, that guy, he said, he looks like a Jew. He can't be a Roman. They were going to beat him. If he couldn't identify on the outside who he was nationally or what his rights were, then how in the world could I look out over a sea of people and pick out someone and say, that person has the Spirit of God in them. They're saved. How could you do it from the outside? I mean, how could it happen? He says, listen, the Spirit of God, it's like the wind. And it goes from one place to the other. You're not going to see, you know, it's not always, you know, there's people who say you got to pray through. Amen. I say you got to pray too. Amen. And so, amen to the right person. You can pray to a lot of things, but I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people that have done a lot of praying and they're going to bust hell wide open. He goes on to say here, that he said, so if I can't identify, listen, then as I look over this group, you may have a suit and tie on this morning. You may have taught Sunday school. You may just have wandered in the door, but you may be here today and not know that you're born again, that you've accepted Jesus as your payment for your sin, that what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection is your payment for sin. And you've asked him and received from the Lord Jesus Christ eternal life. I can't pick out people that have done that. Now, we just preached on Wednesday night, and if you missed it, I'm sorry, but we talked about one of the ways we can kind of tell is not just by a skin tone or what we wear, but by the fruits, the works of our faith. But you know, here in the Bible, this same Jesus continues. He doesn't give up on him. You know, he doesn't understand. He keeps asking questions. And he, in verse 14, as Moses was lifted up, he begins to tell him and tries to witness of himself to Nicodemus. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he tries to give him a picture that he would know in the Old Testament. Just like Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was talking about him being lifted up between heaven and earth and dying on a cruel, rugged cross that had been predicted years before. In verse 15, he says, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And if I could say to anybody today, when I was a little kid and before I ever got saved, I knew verse 16. But if there ever was something that was written to a people, if there ever was something that freed my soul and that I love to hear over and over again, I can't hear it preached enough. I can't hear it read enough. I've memorized it, and probably you too. And he says, for God so loved the world. He told a story of a God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I was free born into this country, but it took the blood of the Holy Son of God coming and dying on Calvary to pay for my sin and to pay for your sin. But there was a day at 15 years old when I realized that I could never work my way to heaven, that I could never be good enough, that I could never earn it, even with a great price of my own, payment of my blood or my service or my money to the church. I could never earn salvation. But there was one that came and purchased it for me, and that I could be free born again by the blood of the Lamb. For God so loved the world. I'm teaching through Ephesians. And that first chapter of Ephesians not only will let you know that you're saved, but it'll tell you how it's broken down. That God chose us before the foundation of the world. That his Son purchased us by his own blood. And that when I receive him as my Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and seals me until the day of redemption. Folks, I know who I am. You know, I couldn't keep it even if I tried. But God sent us his holy, sweet Holy Spirit to indwell the Christians so that I could have comfort. I started this whole thing by telling you, I woke up this morning and knew that I knew that I knew that I was saved. You see, there was a time in my life when the preacher used to preach and say, are you saved? And I'd say, am I? And there'd be nothing. Or there'd be, I don't know, will you pray a prayer? And I'd have a conversation with me about what I did. But I got saved. I mean, gloriously saved and put my trust in Jesus Christ. And when I did that from that day till this, when the preacher goes, are you saved? There's something on the inside that says, you better believe it that you are. There's a Holy Spirit on the inside that says, we got it covered, friend. It's paid. Can I just tell you today? Everybody ought to have that I know so salvation. Everybody ought to have been born free twice. Born in America. If you weren't born here, man, I hope you're here because you know this is the greatest nation and you transferred here. Amen. I'm from Maryland, but I had to transfer down here to this great state of Florida. Amen. And I understand what you did, but can I just say I'm so glad. Listen, there's it doesn't matter where you're from. What nation you're from. It's a blessing to have been born free politically. But the greatest day of my life was the day that I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I got purchased back by a holy God. who moved heaven and earth so that I could be saved. The whole purpose of God's working in His Bible, the whole book, is so that He could buy us back again into Himself. A God who doesn't need anything decided that He wanted us more than anything else in the world. And today, every moment of my life, can I just say this? I just testimony of who I am and who you could be if you receive Him as your Son, as your Savior. But more than that, I've made Him Lord of my life. When I wake up every day, I wake up for Him. When I work every day, I work for Him. I don't work for me anymore. I work for Him. I don't live every day. It's not me, but Christ liveth in me today. Hey, Christian, boy, what a nation we could be if we were a nation of twice-born, blood-bought Christians that lived every day to its fullest for Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an altar call. We're going to have an invitation where you can walk the aisle and come down. You can take my hand and I'll point out someone who can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe you've been here a while and you know how to be saved. You've just never received Him, but you'd like to. You can do the same thing. You come down front and have a time that you can accept Christ. Maybe you're a Christian here today. And sometimes we get caught up in all of the political things of this world, but we forget. Just as much as I've been freeborn once, I was freeborn twice. And I ought to live this existence, not completely tied up in the political realm, but living it for Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to come and talk to Him today. Say, Jesus, thanks for reminding me again just how good You are and what You've done for me. Would you stand with me and I'll pray. And as soon as we finish prayer, if God's spoken to your heart, if you'd step out and come and receive Him, I'll meet you in the front. Dear Jesus, I beg You today, if there's one that's lost in this building, help them not to leave. Help them to realize that almost everybody else that would stay in their seat at one time or another has walked the aisle and done exactly what they're going to do this morning so that they could receive Jesus Christ. I pray that You would touch their heart and help them to have boldness to step out and receive You today. If there's a Christian that wants to just come and tell You You love them, they love You, God, I pray that You give them boldness to do that at Your altar. Well, thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The music's going to begin to play. Would you come?
Just as I am.
Step out, come down the aisle. I'll meet you right here. I'll take your hand. Take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Free spirit. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? I know you didn't have a ton of visitors this morning, but maybe if you're here and God has spoken to your heart, with head bowed and eyes closed, someone would raise their hand. Say, Brother Parsons, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere in the building? One that would be honest and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. All right. Didn't see any hands in the building today. That means the rest of us that have been born free and been born again, there's a great work to do. His church and his building is about his great commission, about winning people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I pray that today we'll have one more stanza of the song. But if God's spoken to your heart, would you come and ask God maybe to give you a soul this week? Maybe you'd come and maybe you'd pray where you are and just say, God, help me to be that soul winner. Speak through me this week. Let me be your mouthpiece this week. As Brother Gall sings.
Just as I am poor, wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I thank you. Listen, I tell you, as the pastor says, it's always disappointing when nobody walks the aisle and gets saved. But I just tell you, you know, we serve a great God who's still on the throne. Amen. He's still got all this craziness that we see in the news in his hands, and he's got it handled if we'll just turn to him and keep him in mind. And along with it, I just want to say this. You know, we've got a lot of people, just so many people that are moving into our area that need to hear about him. And boy, church, if I could encourage, just a simple track. They're at every door on your way out. There's great opportunity all around us every day. When you just stop and get a soda pop, amen. There's somebody across the gas pump maybe from you. God will lead you to give a track or an invitation. Maybe you're not ready to speak to them, but boy, that's how I started out. I remember early on my preacher encouraged me to carry a pocket full of tracks, and I would reach and say, hey, can I give you this? Hey, can I give you this? And every time I was giving the gospel, even though I didn't get to say it audibly, I was giving it out in print. And that's just, listen, the Bible never returns void. Never. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Let me say this tonight, if you can pass the word. I forgot to put it up for announcements earlier, but we're going to have a Sunday school teacher meeting right after the evening service. Very quick. Just want to make sure I can answer any questions about the campaign. I do appreciate we're doing well. The buses were a little bit down this morning from last week, but pray for them. There's a lot of people that are still scared to come back. Please, please, please pray, church, for those young people and the parents to have trust in us to send their kids back to the church. Amen. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Brother Josh, will you step up here and pray for us? It's good to have him back from college and singing today.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Let's be here, Lord. Just thank you for the service that you've given us to us. Just thank you for the preacher that's given his word and that we apply to our lives, Lord. I thank you for this country that is free, and I always thank you for your free gift of salvation, Lord. I just pray for the rest of the day. Keep us safe as we go home. In your precious name, amen.